A Square of One's Own. Memoirs of the Budsbury Circle by Lytton Strickney. Episode 3, The Rights of Woman. To the Titan clash between the Athens of art and the Rome of politics, our group sought to bring harmony. Our aesthetic was no mere elitist plaything, but rigorously confronted the issues of our time, as posterity will one day confirm. And if we eschewed the greasy pole of office, our influence in matters political was the more significant for its subtlety.
Vanessa, darling, it's in my letter to the Times. Vanessa, darling, hello, where are you? Oh, yes, right. Sorry.
Good morning, Clive, darling.
Mwah. Here it is, look.
What? Oh, your letter. About First Cuckoo, is it?
No, that was months ago. This one's women's suffrage.
Oh, silly me, yes, of course.
I'll read it out. Sir, apart from the clarion chorus of reaction, rather nice phrase that, I thought. Vanessa?
Sorry, darling, I must find my diary. It's important.
The vote is also important?
Yes, of course it is, darling. Well, go on, then.
Can any sensible person deny the equity of women's suffrage? After all, women can hardly be any more stupid than most of the men who, in our wisdom, we allow to vote.
Yes, very liberal, darling.
Yours faithfully, Clive Pill, critic, author of Civilization.
Yes, oh,
that should
God.
Get things moving.
I found it.
What?
My diary, Clive. It was under this letter.
Letter? What letter?
It's here. What's today, the 19th? That makes me 1, 2, 3...
Oh, give me that.
10 days late. Oh.
Dear Mr. Pill, kindly take notice of sticking your job where... Really? Oh, Cook's given a notice in now.
Oh, no! At a time like this! Oh.
You all right, Vanessa? With effect from yesterday. Oh, but who'll cook breakfast? Looks like you'll have to... Oh, right. Well, what do you want, darling? Bacon and eggs?
Nothing, darling. I'm not hungry, really. Oh, I think I'm going to call on Virginia.
Vanessa! Acting very oddly. Still, that's women for you.
But if Vanessa's customary sang-froid had for the moment deserted her, yet some preternatural wisdom remained, guiding her to the tranquillity that lay like a force field around the person of her sister, Virginia, who was herself that day applying her great mind to affairs of public import.
This way, Mrs. Pills.
Oh, God! Poor V!
Your sister, Mrs. Pill, to see you, ma'am.
What? Is it 7 o'clock already?
No, ma'am, it is not time for your soiree. Mrs. Pill has merely come to pay a social call.
Leave her to me, Nat.
Very good, ma'am. Would you care for refreshments, ma'am?
I'd just like a piece of black pudding. And a nice big slice of Madeira cake. Oh, what am I talking about? Tea, please, Nat. Earl Grey.
Very good, ma'am.
V, darling, you're so lucky. At least you've still got your servants like Nash. He might have been wiped out at the Battle of the Somme or one of those other ghastly places. And then where would you be? V, don't cry. What's the matter?
It's this.
Dear Virginia Woolf, honoured deliver a talk, Cooperative Women's Guild.
Oh, the horror! The horror!
They only want you to give a speech.
Yes! On working women.
I don't see what's so awful about that.
I really believe you don't. Such a woman's life at least offers a Sufi-like oblivion of living it. But to imagine it, so every horrid detail scurries through one's mind like demons with no respite.
Why not advertise then? Find some match girl, give her 10 bob, and ask her to tell you a few anecdotes.
I'm an artist, not a transcriber. I don't report. I interpret.
Tea, ma'am? Milk or lemon, ma'am?
Lemon, please, Nash. Oh, and I don't suppose you've got a piece of coal.
I shall see what I can do, ma'am.
V, if you think you've got troubles, wait till you hear mine. The cook's walked out.
What?
A time like this as well.
Don't say you've been asked to give a speech.
I'm going to have a baby.
Ugh, impossible. A baby and no cook.
Oh, isn't it too vile? But what to do? Clive doesn't seem bothered.
Monstrous. Having sated his goatish appetites on you to leave you without a cook.
Well, actually, it was Duncan's goatish appetites. Oh. Possibly Roger's. Whatever. I just know Clive's going to be so difficult. It's so vexing.
Your coal, ma'am. Bituminous or anthracite?
Oh, Nash, you're such a treasure.
The recondite nature of Virginia's work has led to charges that she inhabited an intellectual ivory tower. But a crisis, hardly too strong a word for Vanessa's predicament, brought out the practical side of her genius.
There's nothing for it. I must organise a soiree. Between us, we'll surely think of something to find you a cook. Charlatan 2323, please.
Hello? Who's there? If you've rung about the landscapism lectures, I'm sorry. I'm simply not available until tomorrow morning.
Oh, God.
Virginia!
Yes, now listen, Vita. It's Vanessa's cook.
What? No. Say it's not true, Virginia. Say she means nothing to
you. Of course she doesn't. She's left.
Left? Oh, thank God.
Vanessa's cook left her, and we must find her another one.
But how?
We're having a soiree to decide here tonight. 7 o'clock.
Yes, darling Virginia. You know I'll never let you...
Cambridge 3434, please.
Hello?
John?
Ginny! Oh, hold on, I'm calling the other line. Coins Enterprises, may I help you?
Oh, God.
Look, I can do you a fiver at gross, and that's robbing myself.
John!
Look, what do you want, blood? Ginny, sorry about that. The Vice-Chancellor wants to set up a new scholarship.
John, Vanessa's cook has left her. What can we do?
Tricky. Supply and demand, as we say in the trade. I suppose you've tried paying her.
Oh, God, John, try to be practical.
Having ascended Olympus, conferred with the gods of economics, landscapism, and...
That just leaves Lytton now.
Though I balk at the implied immodesty, biography, Virginia's efforts in the service of sisterhood had been heroic. An exquisite irony, then, that on the scales of destiny, they should be ultimately outweighed by the following epiphany.
Oh, V, you're an angel. Now I've just got to worry about the other thing.
Other?
The baby.
A lady to see you, ma'am.
Oh, God. It'll be one of those swinish cooperative women come to persecute me about this speech.
A Miss Catherine Manmad from New Zealand.
Miss Manmad.
Call me Kath.
My sister and I were having a family discussion.
Sister? Oh, Vanessa, right? Oh, from what I've heard of you, I can guess what sort of discussion. They say we've got a lot in common.
That will be all, Nash.
Very good, ma'am.
Whoa, look at that. You could park a bike in the crack of his clacker.
So you could. I've often thought...
Vanessa! Nash is a servant.
Oh, sorry, my big trap. Still, now I'm here, I might as well get started, eh?
Started?
Reading my stories. I'll start with Blush, shall I? About a woman who's got the hots for this young poet, right? Only her husband's being a real pain in...
Oh, yes, that sounds like a lovely story.
Alas, Miss Manmad.
Kath?
We couldn't possibly impose.
Ah, oh, you're busy, right? I can take a hint. I'll just go up to my room and powder my nose.
Your room?
It's all right. You stay here. I'll just get Nash to cart my bags upstairs. Any excuse to ogle that rump.
You're staying here, but it's impossible. I'm expecting guests.
Yeah, me. Look, my letter of introduction.
Dear Catherine Manmad, your stories are quite delightful, just perfect for the Budsbury Press. If you're ever in London, please stay with us. Sincerely, Leonard Wolfe.
Virginia's husband was a man of saintly disposition, apparently devoid of malice, jealousy, or suspicion. Possibly he merely lived according to the maxim that to know all is to forgive all. It matters not. As the most startling events of these chronicles occurred in his absence, we shall see little of him.
Leonard! Typical!
He did tell you. I mean, you being his old lady, I just assumed...
What?
That... You discuss...
I am an artist. We are all artists. We do not fritter our lives on bourgeois chit-chat.
My mistake. Still, now that's sorted out. Oh, whoops. Don't tell me. Another faux pas. How do you call Nash?
Here, Kath, darling. We generally use this.
You called, Mum.
Oh, down, girl. Could you put my cases in my room, please, Nash?
Mum.
And then come back down immediately, Nash.
I want you to hail me a cab for Harley Street.
Very good, Mum.
Oh, well, see you later, girls.
Oh, don't pull a face like that, V. She is fun, and we've always wanted to meet a primitive knife.
Having graciously received her colonial guest, how soon was Virginia to appreciate the shrewd words of that old scoundrel St. Paul, that in entertaining strangers, oft do we entertain angels unawares? Let us rejoin them later that afternoon.
Work, labour, the dignity melding into indignity. For simply to be a woman is to work.
Oh, God.
Oh, what are you doing on the floor, Virg?
I'm drained.
Oh, wish I could just put my napper down like that. If I don't drop a couple of barbitones, I know I'm going to be up all night. Which has its compensations, I suppose.
Help me.
Ah, sure. Give us your arm.
Leave me.
Please yourself. Only trying to help.
No one can help. I am in hell.
Oh, sounds like you've been hitting the Barbie tablets yourself.
No!
What is it then?
That.
What? This letter? Hmm. Speech? Working women? What's the problem?
What? Have you ever tried to imagine the plight of a woman with a...
job?
Yes!
Oh, I usually base them on experience. See, I'm not an artist of the first rank like you.
No, no.
I can't write about things I don't know about like you do and all the other great English writers.
But does this mean you've had jobs?
Sure. A movie extra. I was in the chorus at the Opera House. She bloody hard work that was.
What, singing?
And now getting the job. And then the director left me with a big
dose... A film extra? A chorus girl? Surely the experience of a match girl can't be so very disparate.
Well, it depends on how they recruit match girls, I suppose. Hey, I know. Why don't I write this speech for you? I'll even deliver it if you like. Nobody would know the difference.
Oh, oh, my sister, you
There's no need for that.
Mrs. Sockville-Pest to see you, Mom.
Virginia! What are you doing? Who is that woman?
I'm Kath. I'm staying for a few days. I came to read Virg my stories.
Did you indeed?
Mr. Pill and Dr. Coins have also arrived, Mom. They are in the sepia room. And if I'm not mistaken, that's Mr. Strychnine.
What's party time?
The men all enjoy stories, don't they, Virginia? Perhaps, dear, you might like to go and read to them.
A better idea. I've got a play I've nearly finished. We'll perform it tonight. I'll go and start casting straight away. Downstairs, did you say, Nash?
Yes, Mom.
After you, then.
I entered the sepia room that day to an atmosphere of sepulchral gloom, as though the dismal episode of the Pill's cook was spreading despond by a process of osmosis. Predictably, though, Coins was attempting to raise morale as only he knew how.
Look on the bright side, Clive. Soon nobody will be able to get staff. You're just starting a fashion.
Johnny, trying to think.
Why, Lytton, hello.
Hello, John.
Call me Johnny. What have I told you?
Clive, how do you do?
Lytton.
This is a delightful...
Yes.
Isn't it?
Occasion. Isn't it?
At this point, the clouds parted, and a cynosure lit up the room.
Don't tell me I've died and gone to heaven. Hello, boys.
Extraordinary.
She loved that accent. Makes me go all slushy inside. Okay, intro time then. I'm Catherine. Kath?
John.
Clive.
Lytton.
All here for the soiree, right? Yeah. Me too. I'm staying in the M room on the first floor, bow window overlooking the street, blue door. Can't miss it. But first things first, who can act?
Act.
I've written a play, specially for tonight.
Count me out.
Me too. I'm a writer, not an actor.
Yes, alas, dear lady, we are none of us servants of Thespis. The written, not the spoken word, is our métier.
Oh, come on, gents. They're not speaking parts. You just stand there and look handsome. Should be easy for you.
What's it about?
That's more like it. It's a symbolist piece, like the Judgment of Paris, only with naked men instead of women.
Naked?
It's all right. You can be symbolically naked. Okay, Clive, with that lantern jaw, you represent beauty. John, you stand for the mind, and Lytton can stand for...
goodness.
Okay, goodness.
He can't be goodness.
No, you can be goodness if you like, Clive. I'll be beauty.
Yes, that's you, Lytton.
John, stand over there.
Lytton, you stand over there. Are you sure this is a proper play?
Of course.
Without lines.
John, over there.
Oh, Lytton.
It's how all plays are created. By the actors, not just the writer. I've worked in theatre, I know. Okay, firstly, Clive, I have you.
Have me?
And a manner of speaking. Now, you come on and you do a dance... then you take me in your arms and you make passionate love to me, like this. Then it's Lytton's turn. No, Lytton, with me, not him.
Get off me!
Oh, I do.
But I still haven't decided, so...
He's fainted.
Oh, brilliant! Hold that pose, John. The intellect recumbent.
Oh, bravo. You have restored him to consciousness.
Okay, boys, you get the idea. But I still haven't made up my mind.
I've got an idea. I climb on Lytton's back.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, why not? You said the actors helped to create the play.
Yeah, but the symbolism's all wrong. Now, I've got an idea. I'm overwhelmed by choice. So I lie on the floor and all three of you on top of me. Oh, yeah, that's it. You're getting into the swing, Lytton. Come on.
Oh, good heavens, Virginia. It's an orgy on your Persian carpet.
Oh, God.
Feet are high. You and Virginia, one each side. You be nymphs, okay?
Nymphs?
Oh, great, Vanessa's back. Okay, we'll have boy-girl, boy-girl, boy-girl.
The avant-garde is, as it were, a butterfly, cross-pollinating disparate ideas and people to create exhilarating new ways of thinking and indeed living, and so making, in the hackneyed phrase, strange bedfellows. As I explained to Catherine the following night in our box at the Royal Opera House.
Bravo! More!
Oh, Lytton, that was great. Thank you so much for taking me.
My pleasure, Catherine.
Oh, that accent.
Well, to my chagrin, Catherine, I am capable of speaking in no other way. I am, besides, unaccustomed to the company of a lady in such a setting. But what I was about to say was that...
Yes?
The avant-garde is, as it were, a butterfly.
Oh, that's original. Sure beats come and see my itchings.
No, you misunderstand. My point was about the desirability of cross-pollination.
Yeah, I get you.
Quick, get on the floor.
Oh, gee, letting you take your time getting there, but when you do, you're like a tiger. Oh,
two ladies seen us.
Who?
Who, indeed. That nemesis I had espied lurking in the stalls.
Thought I recognised you, Lytton, Catherine. Well, you're a pair of dark horses.
Oh, well, last-minute arrangement. I was offered a complimentary box. The front-of-house manager's a friend of mine.
Yes, he's a friend of mine, too. A friend of half of London, if you believe the rumours.
And Catherine kindly agreed to accompany me.
Yeah, well, you know, Burge is very kind, but she needs time to herself. I mean, not that she actually said...
Vita did.
Yeah, how did you...
Lucky guess. Anyway... glad I spotted you. Thought I'd just pop up, check you're still okay for tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, Johnny's kindly offered to take me around the art galleries and his motor.
Him? But you can't... I mean, he prefers...
Aye, the pot's about to call the kettle black.
Prefers what, Lytton?
Financial things to art galleries. Well, maybe not. I've started to wonder if we know what any of us prefers. Are you free on Thursday, Catherine?
Oh, Lytton, so sorry. I promised to help Vanessa...
Oh, yes, of course. She still hasn't found a cook.
What? Oh, no, I'm taking her to a doctor I know. Spot of female trouble.
Well, no matter. Perhaps you'll be free on Friday?
Friday. Oh, no, I'm giving a speech for Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even started writing it yet. Hey, look, why don't you come to the meeting?
What, the,
Cooperative Women's Guild.
Oh, why don't we?
Yes. Good. Well, now that's settled, if I can offer anyone a lift.
Well, wouldn't dream of imposing. Catherine... Kath and I were about to take supper.
That's lucky I haven't eaten yet.
The Budsbury Circle are generally regarded as the cavalry of the Army of Progress. Courageous, glamorous, heading the charge to storm the citadels of reaction. Yet, when need arose, we did not scorn to serve amongst the spear carriers, in whose ranks we were numbered on the day of Catherine's speech.
All right, ladies, women's oppression lecture this way. No, this door, madam.
Oh, sorry, beg pardon.
This way, girls, roll up.
Good evening, madam.
Catherine.
Come on, then, give us a kiss for luck.
Catherine.
And Clive.
Catherine, don't forget me.
Johnny, darling. Good of you to turn up, boys.
Our pleasure.
Always been a staunch female suffragist, man and boy.
We all have.
Yes.
And a virgin, the other girls in?
Yes, all present.
Well, might as well kick off, then.
And take a tip. Deep breaths.
And speak from the diaphragm.
That's here.
Hands, Johnny.
Right, in you go, then. I'll shut the doors.
Charming woman.
Very.
Incredibly.
Astonishingly. Especially for a...
Woman, yes. Enough to make you...
Yes, yes, it is.
Shh. Main. Good day, ladies and gents.
That's us.
Shh. I suppose you're expecting the usual diatribe you get from all the other long-faced cows. Moan, moan, moan. Can't vote, can't do a degree, can't be a lawyer, can't even go to the boozer. Well, forget it. I'm not going to go on about what we can't do.
Hooray!
Shh. I'm going to make a few practical suggestions. Babies, for instance. Ever seen one of these?
Good grief, there could be housemaids in here.
Like I told a mate of mine the other day, prevention beats cure.
This is an illegal meeting. Arrest everybody.
Good grief, it's that woman with the funny voice.
A police spy. Come on, we'll slip out the back.
Not so fast, you're all under arrest.
I know the chief constable, you know.
You'll be able to see him down the station then, won't you?
To be seized, humiliated, powerless. And from that negation of being, to soar like a phoenix.
You can make any statement down at the station, madam.
They've got Virginia.
How dare you manhandle me, constable? Take that!
And Vita.
This way, ma'am.
Oh, you're so masterful. That uniform is so very manly.
They've caught everybody.
I shall not dwell in detail upon the unpleasantness of the few hours that Coins, Clive and I passed at Bow Street Police Station. The following should suffice to convey a hint of their flavour.
And the next one, please. Name?
Clive!
Not your real name, you fool.
What? Oh, yes. Clive Ahrens. Renoir.
Oh.
It's not that easy, Johnny.
You, sir. Johnny what?
Walker. My card. Here, take it.
There seems to be a 10-shilling note stuck to it, sir.
What? Oh, very honest of you, officer. Here, let me replace it.
This one has a pound. Bribery is a very serious business, sir.
You're telling me? How serious, for heaven's sake?
My MP will hear about...
Shut up, Clarence, and turn your pockets out. And you, Llewellyn. Here. £3.11 and 9, and that's top dollar. You've cleared us out. Well?
Just call it £3.10, sir. I'm not a greedy man. We always leave our clients with the taxi fare home. Bye-bye, sir. I know you go.
I'd say we're in the wrong business.
Of the ladies' sojourn in Holloway Prison, I can, of course, know nothing at first hand. The following summary, combining facts provided by those involved and a modicum of intelligent surmise, seems, however, as accurate a picture as we are likely to obtain.
Evening, ladies. I'm the prison governor. Come to supervise your evening meal.
Sustenance. The never-ending circle of being and becoming.
She all right? We can put her in the mental
section. Oh, of course she's all right. She's just weak from hunger. We all are.
Well, get on with it if you're serving. You haven't even set up the knives and forks and plates yet. What sort of a place is this?
We don't have crockery or cutlery in here.
You don't?
No, just this. This little tube. Come on, you first.
Me?
What's that for?
To feed you. We offer you food, you refuse it, then we stick this down your throat and feed you for your own good.
You don't need to do that, though, Governor, darling. I haven't had a decent meal in days. My cook's left, you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Come on, strap her down.
What are you?
Governor, Do we have to be strapped to that table?
Prison regulations.
Oh, I see. Tell me, are there any regulations about sleeping arrangements?
Why?
Oh, I'm the most frightful sleepwalker.
I see.
I'm afraid I should inconvenience these two poor ladies terribly.
With your nocturnal wanderings.
Exactly. Perhaps I should be strapped up tonight for my own good.
Oh.
In solitary confinement.
Ah.
Do you think that could be arranged?
Oh, yes.
The historian must never attribute causality to mere correlation. While recording, therefore, that the following evening saw us around Vanessa's dining table, all fears for our liberty dispelled, I shall leave speculation as to how this state of affairs came about to others.
A magnificent repast, Vanessa. You have indeed struck gold with the recruitment of your cook.
And cheese, please, too. It makes a lovely change from having to cook all those gallons of horrid porridge every morning.
Any news of Catherine?
A letter this morning.
Ah, did she mention any of us at all?
Come on, let's have a read.
If you must. Here.
Dear Snobs, well, you stitch me up good and proper. Muggins gets bundled up in the Black Maria while you lot scram.
Oh, that's not fair. I made the governor promise to let her go. Men, they'll say anything.
Then what can you expect? In this lousy country, unless you've got a mansion of your own and 30,000 a year, you get trampled on. Well, so long forever. I hope you remember me and feel guilty.
A mansion of one's own. The phrase resonates. This tawdry episode may yet transmute into art. I must go home and create. Now!
I'll come and be your muse, Virginia. Oh, do say I can.
I'll see you both out.
Well, that's the ladies out of the way. Mm. Time for the port and men's dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say when.
When? When? You know, I hardly know how to put this. But have either of you two noticed an itching?
Around your...
Yeah, head. Yes.
Yes, and a red...
Sore, yeah. Of course, with Johnny and his university friends, one never knows what one might contract.
Don't point the finger at me. Clive's the arty one.
That doesn't mean I carry on like an animal. It's very well for you two. What am I going to tell Vanessa?
It is an intriguing irony. Catherine did say she hoped we'd remember her.
And feel guilty.
Yes.
Yes. Not to worry. A friend of mine, Alexander Flaming, swears by this poultice treatment. Oh. You leave it in a dish all night.
Ah, Vanessa's back. So, are we ready to play charades?
Yes!
Yes. I want to see the muse tonight.
Oh, come on then.
Of the many talented and illustrious people who have assisted in this creation, I am especially indebted to Mr. Toby Longworth for a heroic interpretation of the part of myself, Lytton Strychnine. Miss Sally Grace, who touched sublimity in her depiction of Mrs. Virginia Woolf. Mr. Nicholas Hardy, who enriched our understanding of Johnny Maynard Coins. Mr. Matthew Bell, urbane yet robust as Clive Pill. Miss Sarah Parkinson, scintillating in the role of Mrs. Vanessa Pill. Miss Joanna Brooks, quite captivating as Mrs. Vita Sockville Pest. Miss Moya O'Shea, for a dazzling portrayal of Miss Catherine Manmad. And Mr. Christopher Emmett, who self-effacingly gave voice to those untalented but sadly irreplaceable characters, the butler, the policeman, and the prison governor. I must also thank Mr. Ivan Shakespeare for his services as amanuensis. Finally, my undying gratitude goes to Miss Elizabeth Anstey, without whose production skills the foregoing would simply not have been possible.